Today is April the 25th. Today we see that Saul dies. Today, as we read through the Bible in a year, please read 1 Samuel 28 to 31. Now, in 1 Samuel 28, 1, we're told that about that time the Philistines mustered their armies for another war with Israel. And King Achish told David, "You and your men are expected to join me in battle." This puts David in a tough spot. He goes to fight Israel. He will either have to do the unthinkable and fight for the Philistines and against Israel, or clearly identify himself as loyal to the Israelite nation. Now, what we have happening at this time, the Philistines are not a coherent nation. They are still a collection of city-states. Several cities have banded together to fight against the nation of Israel. Well, Saul, before he goes up to battle, decides that he needs to consult. He wants to consult with Samuel. But Samuel has died. So Saul locates a medium, a witch, in the little village of Endor. He has the witch summon up Samuel from the dead, and Saul talks to Samuel. Whether this is an evil spirit or actually the spirit of Samuel, you know, we'll never know. But what Samuel says is very consistent with what Samuel said during his lifetime. He said, "Saul, the Lord has torn Israel away from you and given it to David. You will die in this war." Saul's extremely discouraged now, but he goes to war. In chapter 29, they go to fight, and the other Philistine leaders, the kings of the other Philistine city-states, tells Achish, "We will not let David fight with us." They actually saw through what David was doing. They said, "We fear that in the heat of the battle, David will turn and fight us. Then we'll have the enemy in front of us and the enemy among us, and we'll certainly lose." Well, Achish sends David back home. And in chapter 30, he arrives back home to find that the city that he's been given, Ziklag, has been raided and destroyed. The women, children, the livestock, all of the goods have been taken by the Amalekites. David consults the Lord. Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, the only one to escape from the priesthood when Saul killed the priests, brings the ephod to David. David says, "Consult the Lord. Should we chase Amalek?" The Lord says, "Yes." They do. They win back all of the booty that the Amalekites had taken. When David gets back home to Ziklag, chapter 30, verses 27 to 30, David, from that booty and from the possessions now of the Amalekites that he conquered, sends gifts to several cities in Judah, to the south of Israel. Judah and Simeon, who, remember, Simeon is surrounded by the tribe of Judah. So David sends gifts to many of the cities that he has actually been protecting. Chapter 31, we see the death of Saul. Saul was injured. His three sons were killed, including Jonathan. Saul realizes that his wounds are mortal. he says to his armor bearer, you kill me. I don't want to be killed by a Philistine sword. The armor bearer says, never. So Saul props his sword up, falls on his sword, and dies by his own hand. Then the armor bearer does the same. Today, let's read 1 Samuel chapters 28 to 31.
About that time, the Philistines mustered their armies for another war with Israel. King Achish told David, "You and your men will be expected to join me in battle." "Very well," David agreed. "Now you will see for yourself what we can do." Then Achish told David, "I will make you my personal bodyguard for life." Meanwhile, Samuel had died, and all Israel had mourned for him. He was buried in Ramah, his hometown. And Saul had banned from the land of Israel all mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. The Philistines set up their camp at Shulam, and Saul gathered all the army of Israel and camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the vast Philistine army, he became frantic with fear. He asked the Lord what he should do, but the Lord refused to answer him, either by dreams or by sacred lots, or by the prophets. Saul then said to his advisers, "Find a woman who is a medium, so I can go and ask her what to do." His advisers replied, "There is a medium at Endor." So Saul disguised himself by wearing ordinary clothing instead of his royal robes. Then he went to the woman's home at night, accompanied by two of his men. "I have to talk to a man who has died," he said. "Will you call up his spirit for me?" "Are you trying to get me killed?" the woman demanded. "You know that Saul has outlawed all the mediums and all who consult the spirits of the dead. Why are you setting a trap for me?" But Saul took an oath in the name of the Lord and promised, "As surely as the Lord lives, nothing bad will happen to you for doing this." Finally, the woman said, "Well, whose spirit do you want me to call up?" "Call up Samuel," Saul replied. Then the woman saw Samuel. She screamed, "You've deceived me. You are Saul." "Don't be afraid," the king told her. "What do you see?" "I see a god coming up from the earth," she said. "What does he look like?" Saul asked. "He is an old man wrapped in a robe," she replied. Saul realized it was Samuel, and he fell to the ground before him. "Why have you disturbed me by calling me back?" Samuel asked Saul. "Because I am in deep trouble," Saul replied. "The Philistines are at war with me, and God has left me and won't reply by the prophets or dreams. So I have called for you to tell me what to do." But Samuel replied, "Why ask me, since the Lord has left you and has become your enemy? The Lord has done just as he said he would. He has torn the kingdom from you and given it to your rival, David. The Lord has done this to you today because you refused to carry out his fierce anger against the Amalekites. What's more, the Lord will hand you and the army of Israel over to the Philistines tomorrow, and you and your sons will be here with me. The Lord will bring down the entire army of Israel in defeat." Saul fell full length on the ground, paralyzed with fright because of Samuel's words. He was also faint with hunger, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. When the woman saw how distraught he was, she said, "Sir, I obeyed your command at the risk of my life. Now do what I say and let me give you a little something to eat so you can regain your strength for the trip back." But Saul refused to eat anything. Then his advisers joined the woman in urging him to eat. So he finally yielded and got up from the ground and sat on the couch. The woman had been fattening a calf, so she hurried out and killed it. She took some flour and kneaded it into dough and baked unleavened bread. She brought the meal to Saul and his advisers, and they ate it. Then they went out into the night.
The entire Philistine army now mobilized in Aphek, and the Israelites camped at the spring in Jezreel. As the Philistine rulers were leading out their troops in groups of hundreds and thousands, David and his men marched at the rear with King Achish. But the Philistine commanders demanded, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish told them, "This is David, the servant of King Saul of Israel. He's been with me for years, and I've never found a single fault in him from the day he arrived until now." But the Philistine commanders were angry. "Send him back to the town you've given him," they demanded. "He can't go into battle with us. What if he turns against us in battle and becomes our adversary?" Is there any better way for him to reconcile himself with his master than by handing our heads over to him? Isn't this the same David about whom the women of Israel sing in their dances? Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. So Achish finally summoned David and said to him, I swear by the Lord that you have been a trustworthy ally. I think you should go with me into battle, for I've never found a single flaw in you from the day you arrived until today. But the other Philistine rulers won't hear of it. Please don't upset them, but go back quietly. What have I done to deserve this treatment? David demanded. What have you ever found in your servant that I can't go and fight the enemies of my lord the king? But Achish insisted, as far as I'm concerned, you're as perfect as an angel of God, but the Philistine commanders are afraid to have you with them in the battle. Now get up early in the morning and leave with your men as soon as it gets light. So David and his men headed back into the land of the Philistines, while the Philistine army went on to Jezreel. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among the captured. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, "Should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them?" And the Lord told him, "Yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you." So David and his 600 men set out, and they came to the brook Bezor. But 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook. So David continued the pursuit with 400 men.
Along the way, they found an Egyptian man in a field and brought him to David.
They gave him some bread to eat and water to drink. They also gave him part of a fig cake and two clusters of raisins, for he hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 3 days and nights. Before long, his strength returned. "To whom do you belong, and where do you come from?" David asked him. "I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite," he replied. "My master abandoned me 3 days ago because I was sick. We were on our way back from raiding the Kirathites in the Negev, the territory of Judah, and the land of Caleb, and we had just burned Ziklag." "Will you lead me to this band of raiders?" David asked. The young man replied, "If you take an oath in God's name that you will not kill me or give me back to my master, then I will guide you to them." So he led David to them, and they found the Amalekites spread across the fields, eating and drinking and dancing with joy, because of the vast amount of plunder they had taken from the Philistines and the land of Judah. David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them throughout that night and the entire next day until evening. None of the Amalekites escaped, except 400 young men who fled on camels. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He also recovered all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock. "This plunder belongs to David," they said. Then David returned to the brook Bezor and met up with the 200 men who had been left behind because they were too exhausted to go with him. They went out to meet David and his men, and David greeted them joyfully. But some evil troublemakers among David's men said, "They didn't go with us, so they can't have any of the plunder we recovered. Give them their wives and children and tell them to be gone." But David said, "No, my brothers, don't be selfish with what the Lord has given us. He has kept us safe and helped us defeat the band of raiders that attacked us. Who will listen when you talk like this? We share and share alike, those who go to battle and those who guard the equipment." From then on, David made this a decree and regulation for Israel. and it is still followed today. When he arrived at Ziklag, David sent part of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends. "Here is a present for you, taken from the Lord's enemies," he said. The gifts were sent to the people of the following towns David had visited: Bethel, Ramoth Negev, Jader, Eror, Sifmoth, Eshtemoah, Rachel, the towns of the Jeremelites, the towns of the Kenites, Hormah, Bor-Ashan, Athak, Hebron, and all the other places David and his men had visited. Now the Philistines attacked Israel, and the men of Israel fled before them. Many were slaughtered on the slopes of Mount Gilboa. The Philistines closed in on Saul and his sons, and they killed three of his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Melchishua. The fighting grew very fierce around Saul, and the Philistine archers caught up with him and wounded him severely. Saul groaned to his armor-bearer, "Take your sword and kill me before these pagan Philistines come to run me through and taunt and torture me." But his armor-bearer was afraid and would not do it. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When his armor-bearer realized that Saul was dead, he fell on his own sword and died beside the king. So Saul, his three sons, his armor-bearer, and his troop all died together that same day. When the Israelites on the other side of the Jezreel Valley and beyond the Jordan saw that the Israelite army had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their towns and fled. So the Philistines moved in and occupied their towns. The next day, when the Philistines went out to strip the dead, they found the bodies of Saul and his three sons on Mount Gilboa. So they cut off Saul's head and stripped off his armor. Then they proclaimed the good news of Saul's death in their pagan temple and to the people throughout the land of Philistia. Then they placed his armor in the temple of the Ashtoreths, and they fastened his body to the wall of the city of Beth-shin. But when the people of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all their mighty warriors traveled through the night to Beth-shan and took the bodies of Saul and his sons down from the wall. They brought them to Jabesh, where they burned the bodies. Then they took their bones and buried them beneath the tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and they fasted for 7 days.
Scripture reading from the New Living Translation by Emily Herrera. On Thursday's New Hope Church posts its sermon from the previous week, just the sermon. You can look on that on our podcast, Become Hope. Or you can go to our YouTube channel, New Hope Church Greenwood, IN. Tomorrow, we'll see a civil war in Israel.